You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome back to the Victory is Assured broadcast with Kurt Owen. For over 25 years, Kurt Owen has been helping people worldwide learn how to live a victorious life by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday lives. Today, Kurt Owen will be continuing his teaching from the Bible on how we can learn to actually hear from God accurately. Let's listen in.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome back. We've been talking about how to hear from God, and I hope you've been getting some great things out of them. Thank you again, partners, for making these radio broadcasts possible. Now, I want to go over this again. You will have questions that arise in your life. Now, there are multitudes of things written in the general will of God. The written word of God is God's general will. But then there is the specific will of God for your life. Should I go on this trip? Shouldn't I? Should I take this deal? Shouldn't I? Should I buy this car? Shouldn't I? Should I marry this person or shouldn't I? Should I take this job or shouldn't I? All of those things. Now, think about all the stuff people normally consult to answer those questions. And yet Jesus says, Paul says here in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now that literally means to act as an umpire, okay? To regard something as safe or to regard something as out, anything that's coming across your plate. So instead of just consulting all these other different things and all these other different people, begin to consult the peace of God on the inside of you. Begin to check it. Now, again, I'm going to teach you, I'll show you something that I do, okay? And then you can kind of go from there. But I think it's important, again, though, that you're going to have to realize you are a spirit and you're going to have to check the inside of you to determine what the peace is trying to tell you about what's going on in your life. Let the peace of God act as an umpire. All right? Now, we looked at three different instances where you can kind of point to this. And I want to go back. I'm going to read them all again, just so you know. Because how does it look? You know, Paul makes this statement, says it like this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. Well, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, it literally means that he's telling you whether you should have peace about something or not. He's telling you whether this is the direction to go or not, and he's doing that through peace. You know, remember one of the other translations says, let the peace of God settle with finality all questions that arise in your mind. How do you do that? Well, by checking it and allowing the peace to act as an umpire and make the call. Now, again, we looked at three, honestly, to me, are huge things. There's Luke. Here in Luke 1, it said it's in 1:3, it seemed right to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write you an orderly account, O most excellent Theophilus. He is sitting down writing a book in the Bible, not because of a burning bush, not because of an angel, not because of a voice from heaven, but simply because the Lord made it seem right to him. The peace of God said, this is safe for you. This is what you should do. He had a peace about it. It seemed right to him. You know, either one of those, I think you could use them interchangeably. Now, that's about writing a book of the Bible. That, to me, is extremely significant. But then we go over here to Acts 15. And it says in Acts 15. Now, if you've missed any part of this, I've already addressed about where the scripture says if there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end there is destruction. We've already talked about why. And if you are not born again, that you cannot trust what seems right to you. But if you've been born again, child of God, you've been made, you are one spirit with the Lord, you can trust what seems right to you. And here, the entire doctrine for the entire Gentile church, which is the majority of the body of Christ, the doctrine by which we would live by was all addressed by this in Acts 15. It seemed good to us, 28. it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. The doctrine, think of it, the very thing by which all the Gentiles or believers are supposed to live was settled because it seemed right to them and the Holy Spirit. They were checking their seamer, right? And now here again, now we're talking about a person, the will for a person's life. Now we've talked about how this leading has affected the body of Christ. It caused two books of the Bible to be written by Luke, right? The book of Luke and the book of Acts. Then doctrine for the Gentile, the body of Gentile side of the body of Christ, the majority of them, was settled by what? By it seemed right to us in the Holy Spirit. But now we're talking about the individual will for a man's life, the individual will for your life. And it says here again in verse 34 that it was time Silas and Judas were supposed to go back. But it says in verse 34, Acts 15, 34, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Now, again, you would be adding to the Bible to say that God spoke to him. No, he bore witness to him. He gave him a peace. The peace of God settled with finality. Should I go or should I stay? I have peace about staying. I have peace about staying. Well, what did that do? Well, Paul, really probably the most important of all the apostles, because he wrote three more quarters of the New Testament, right? The apostle Paul in a few days is going to have an argument with Barnabas, like we talked about, and he's going to need a new partner in ministry. And who's he pick? Silas. And why does he pick him? Because he's sitting right there. And how did he end up being at the right place at the right time? Because it seemed good to him to stay. Now again, if you want, people say, well, if God wants to get a hold of me, you know, he can arrest me. Should he have to? Can you just not check? Think about how easy it is. Think about how many times in your life it seemed like you should do something, you overrode it, and you wish you'd have done it. You left your house and you had this thought that maybe you ought to take this, and it seemed like you ought to take this with you, but you didn't take it, and what happened? You ended up needing it. There were things that the Holy Spirit was trying to get over to you. You know, I heard so many stories about on 9/11, about men and women that they got up. One guy said he'd never been, his wife said he's never been late to work before, but he just had a hard time putting it together and he just didn't seem like he wanted to go. And he went ahead and went, and unfortunately he died. And then you got another fella who, he said, man, it doesn't seem right to go into work, but I'm gonna lose millions if I don't go. And we got a deal brewing. We got to go do this. And because of the money, he overrode what seemed right to him. He overrode that piece that was trying to say, don't go. And then people ask questions like, well, why did God allow this? You know, I've heard so many testimonies from people who, from their families testifying, well, they knew they weren't supposed to go in. I've heard some people that didn't go, well, I was supposed to be at work that day, but man, something just didn't seem right. I just kept being, every time I started to go to work, I just seemed troubled, so I didn't go, and they're alive. And yet people blame God as though he isn't doing something. You know, I'm going to tell off on myself, but there's times that, you know, I gave the illustration that I literally lost millions of dollars. I lost my entire inheritance because I did not listen to God, that I obeyed man rather than God. And people say, well, why did God let that happen to you? He was trying to prevent it. And right now he's working at blessing me and recovering for it. And I believe that he is. But the truth of the matter is, I can't blame God for me losing that. I can't blame him because he told me I had a piece about selling a building that we should have sold And I didn't, because one of our board of directors talked me out of it. But yet I had, it seemed like I should do it. And because it was so subtle and because the man was so vocal, I paid attention to his voice rather than the seeming, and I lost it. I cannot blame God for that. And if you're blaming God, you need to go back and ask yourself this question. Was there any indication on the inside of you that you shouldn't do that? Or you should have done something else? So many people, you know, I remember about after 9/11, and listen, it was horrific. To lose more than 3,000 Americans is a terrible tragedy. But we never talk about the what? They said at least 66,000 normally would have been there. What about the 63,000 that were saved? Can't we glorify God for that? Can we not acknowledge that it's perhaps, you know, there's a young man that's like a son to me, Marcus, and, you know, he made a statement one time about, we were talking about how people would, if something went wrong, people didn't necessarily blame the devil, and they certainly didn't blame themselves. They'd say, I don't know why God did this. And he asked me this question. He says, why is it that people blame the only one who is actually perfect in this relationship? You'd be better off to blame the devil, but then understand the devil is limited to his ability to deceive you. Yeah, I was deceived. Why were you deceived? Well, I just was. No. You know, look at even with Eve, she was deceived and the man was not. The man wasn't deceived because he knew what the word says. Even in her deception, she said she knew what to do, that we're not supposed to eat of this, but she did it anyway. We can't blame God for these things, folks, if we're not listening. Well, but the promise of God, it really, in order for God to fulfill it, you have to listen. You have to be obedient. You have to pay attention. Guys, Jesus is in love with you. The only place His leadings are trying to take you is to a place of victory. That's what He wants for you. I mean, that's the reason I'm so grateful for our partners, making it possible for us to come on here and talk about God loving you, but talk about the fact you can hear from God and you can make accurate decisions, but you may be blowing past your seamer. You might just be overriding your seamer. What can you do? You need to look at this now and think about, start checking on the inside. Have I been blowing past things? And if you've got stories like, I knew I shouldn't have done that, well, how did you know? Well, because it didn't seem right to you, or it seemed like you should do this. See, this is a biblical method of how to hear from God, but this is not something that jumps up and down and shouts at you. You have to be sensitive to it. Now, we've got some important announcements and some gifts we want to give you. Please pay attention to these important announcements.
God Almighty is excited about you hearing Him to help you stay successful in your life. We encourage you to listen to these teachings over and over. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Kurt Owen would like to offer you a free download of the first session of a recent Hearing from God conference, along with a daily Hearing from God devotional. To receive your free downloads, simply go to KurtOwen.com. Check with this local station's programming guide for the times that Victory is Assured broadcast with Kurt Owen can be heard every weekday. Remember, Jesus is risen and victory is assured.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Danpost, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka, moccasins, and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza,
646 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Cantor Highway.